was an interview with Gene Wilder, the guy who originally played in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I remember him saying, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. So often I feel we fixate on, if I only had this, this would be better. If I only was driving this car, if I only had this much money, if I only had this house, if I was only dating this person. But then you get there and you realize that's not at all what was right for you. That's not at all what you wanted.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios.
Today, we have Donovan Lindsay, founder of College Knowledge Foundation, along with a returning guest, Taylor Shepley, who is the Director of Operations. Donovan and Shep, welcome to episode 99 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thanks so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Pleasure to be back in the American Grown Podcast studio, Sully.
Welcome, guys. Yeah, this is exciting. First of all, I got to say, sharp-dressed. Real sharp.
Always.
I feel like I need something. I'm missing out here.
We got to get you something.
Yeah, get you some swag.
Get me geared up. So, for the listeners, Shep, returning guest, was on the podcast back in episode 28, where we covered everything from surveying, drone piloting, Lego. We covered a whole bunch of stuff. It was also the one-year mark of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. You come a long way since.
Yeah, 99.
Getting close to 100 here, huh?
Yes. Every guest is special. Every guest brings a different story. Mm-hmm. But this gentleman, I've been following him, and he has his own podcast. Crazy gotcha. Enough, his own. He had his own family print shop,
uh-huh.
just like kind of how we do here. So I'm pretty excited to meet this guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so episode 100, it's going to be fun. You know, and like I said, every guest brings it. I learn something new every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I keep doing it. I think that's why people like the podcast, because it's not just me talking about marketing or printing or whatever. It's your journey. It's your lives. It's your experiences. Sure. And you always learn from that.
It's been a huge variety every episode.
That's the end
good
goal.
For the listeners.
100%. Let's dive in. We'll start, Shep. Let's get some of your background just briefly for the listeners, and then let's learn about Donovan.
Yeah. Taylor Shep Shepley. I've been surveying for about 10 years now. Licensed in Pennsylvania and Maryland. Drone pilot, avid collector of Legos, antique cars, and now woodworking.
Oh, so you've added woodworking.
Yeah, I've added woodworking. I did a barn door that I built to put down in my basement to close off between like the semi-finished portion and the utility closet. And my next current big project is actually doing a live edge river table. So
no, yeah. An epoxy river.
Yeah, table? So we got a walnut tree that we cut down up on my grandparents' farm.
Okay,
and we got some planks made out of it, and my dad and I planed them down, and I've been working on. I'm almost ready for the epoxy pour, and that's going to be the most stressful part.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is so sick. Okay, and for the listeners, Shep is you're very handy, right? You're very good.
I try to be.
You are. Yeah, not me. Not so much. Like if I need something fixed, I call Shep.
There you go.
Makes sense. I know not to do it. Like if my wife was like, "Hey, this is broken," I'd be like, "No, I'm not gonna mess with it. I'll make it worse. I'd make it worse." You know. But you go over when I visit, you know, Shep and your lovely wife Hannah. You're always doing stuff to your house, and I love it.
There's always something I'm tinkering.
There's always
with.
A project.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think to quote the great Red Green Canadian comedian, "If you can't find him handsome, at least you can find him handy."
I like that. That's great. That's perfect. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That is a good one. Oh, I love that.
That's a throwback.
Okay.
We'll listen to those recordings so I can write that down again.
Yeah, seriously. That's a sound clip. We'll clip that. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. So I guess I'm handsome?
Hey.
Courtney, if you're listening.
I wish I had your dashing good look, Sully.
Oh, thanks. The Mr. Clean look, huh? All right. So that's a little bit about Shep. Donovan, let's send it over to you.
I currently have four businesses. I work part-time at Banana Republic, which I've worked for about 3 years. Great discount on clothes.
And can't be
currently,
it.
I also am a full-time recruiter, and I've been doing that for about 3 years. Before that, I worked at Penn State. So
we are.
Yeah, we are Penn State. So I did that for about 5.5 years as an assistant director of admissions. And on my free time, I'd say I like to exercise with, when it comes to swimming, did that a lot in high school, became a lifeguard in high school. And then also, I like video games a lot.
Video games? Yeah. Oh, sweet. Okay.
I like video games. Actually, for about 8 years, I worked for the company Major League Gaming part-time. Doing organizing competitions and doing stuff like that online.
He was a professional gamer.
I was just saying, that sounds pretty professional. Yeah. Major League Gaming. Okay. Well, yeah. What games would you play then, professionally?
Mostly first-person shooters. Right now, the... very different than it was before, but the Rainbow Six series, I love. Right now, they've got Rainbow Six Siege out, which I'm not the biggest fan of the gameplay because I was so used to the gameplay of the previous kind of iteration of the franchise where they were in Vegas. So basically, the Rainbow is a kind of like a like an iteration of just so many different countries helping to fight terrorism.
Oh, okay.
So it's like they're tasked by the UN to go to all these different places and fight terrorism. Just so happened Vegas was where one of the spots was. And I would compete on like the singles ladders, doing like one-on-one, 2v2s, and like 3v3s to 7v7s on the team ladder. Had our own like team, and we'd go through our strats on the map and all that. But... yeah, like
legit.
It was pretty legit.
Wow.
Up to like 2-3 in the morning at times playing teams from either the US or other countries.
I was gonna ask other countries.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Strats is short for strategies.
Strats is short for strategies. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
But wow. I was into it. I was into it for quite some time, but I was so mesmerized with how the organization was with all the things. I was like, why don't I apply and try to work with them in, you know, different ways? So I did that for about 8 years. I was working with them.
Wow. But,
yeah, I like gaming.
So, all right, between like Call of Duty and Battlefield, do you have a favorite there?
Both of those are way more fast-paced than I would like.
Okay.
I've played both of them. I more so like Call of Duty, though, if I'm just going through like the like not online, if I'm just going through like the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But campaign. Like the onlineness of like, I love games. So a lot of the Tom Clancy games, such as Rainbow Six, I like we were just talking about recently, like Splinter Cell, like very stealthy type games where you have to like
silencers.
Study your opponent and, you know, do like that. Silencers. Yeah. Like
be patient. Quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my style of gaming, like really taking my time and like, oh, all right, that's their route. I can do this and do this and do this and, you know, get it done. But,
Shep, you're shaking your head.
I'm a Battlefield guy. 100%.
Battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the big maps and the destruction you can do. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I don't think the latest Battlefield had a campaign mode. So, like, if he was talking online, you know, I'd shake my head for Call of Duty because, I tried it once. I don't stand a chance, but Battlefield with the bigger
too many
maps,
sweats. Yeah. There's too many sweats for sure. Yeah, so it's almost not fun.
Yeah, there's just so much that goes on in Call of Duty.
Yeah, the biggest problem I have now is since it's all cross-platform, I feel like the PC guys have a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. I've always wanted to get into PC gaming. I actually have, like, a gaming laptop. But I don't even, just because I'm so busy now, I got it before I started businesses.
Yeah, you have, let's talk about that, because you mentioned you have four businesses going on. Four businesses. What are you thinking? Like, four businesses? Talk about it. Like, that's crazy.
College knowledge, for instance, I got started with that about 3 years ago now.
Okay.
And having worked in college admissions, I saw that... I was an out-of-state recruiter for Penn State. So I go to many different states, many different cities. And at times, you know, you're talking way up here. Like, it's over the student's head. And depending on where you are, you can kind of gauge whether or not that school is providing a lot of college readiness type of information for the students.
Yeah.
So fast forward a couple years later, pandemic is here. Everyone's virtual. We're on Zoom. And I'm on Zoom with a student and his sister. And his sister is basically like, I had my brother signed up for this session because she's like, I just graduated from college myself. I can't even help my brother because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And they're first generation college students. So parents hadn't gone to school or hadn't gone to college. And then their high school, she said, didn't do much to prepare them. So we're on Zoom for like an hour and a half, 2 hours one day. And they're like frantically writing down everything that I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, like for me, it felt good. For them, I knew I was doing something nice and, you know, just spending as much time as I could. But over the next couple of weeks, because this was between like Thanksgiving and Christmas break. So like over the next couple of weeks, I just remember talking with so many other families who are in the exact same boat. And I'm like, have I drank the Kool-Aid? Like, I'm so engulfed in this. You think that so many other people know it, but they don't.
Yeah.
So I just remember thinking to myself, what could I do to help these people overcome these obstacles? I'm like, I've got all this knowledge. Let me, you know, try to figure out what I can do. So I was like, maybe I'll do like a Zoom session every now and then, word of mouth type thing, and just host sessions like College 101. Not looking down the road of having a student choose a university, but how do you get started? Like, what's the difference between college, universities, public, private, community colleges, vocational schools?
Yeah.
What's the FAFSA? What's financial aid? What, you know, what are scholarships? What's the SATs? All those types of things. So contacted a friend of mine because I think I'm very self-aware. So I know where my weaknesses are. And I know where I was like, I need people here and here to help me grow this. So contacted a friend of mine. She was like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. Let's do it. Host it like a pilot session with, I think it was 12 high school students, 11th grade. Mm-hmm. Them and their parents. They're like, Donovan, 90% of what you went over, we've never heard of. So I was like, yes, 90%. I got this. Yeah. Wow. They were like, none of this really. And I was, again, for me, I'm like, great. But I'm like, also not great because we think you know this stuff, but you really don't.
That's kind of scary.
So contacted my mom actually one day, and she... I had briefly given her an idea of what I was thinking, but I asked her, I was like, so, you know, I always say my mom never gave me the professional naming gene. So you give my mom an idea and she's like, oh, call it this. So texted her, and in typical my mom fashion, she didn't wait like a week or so to think about it. She calls me like an hour later. She's like, what about College Knowledge? And I was like, yeah, that's it. So that was business number one.
Wow. Shout out to mom. That's awesome. Holy cow. She's just like, boom, that's it. That's the name.
Pretty much.
That's a great name.
She helped me name that business. And then a couple, maybe a year down the line, I had left Penn State and I started doing recruiting, corporate recruiting. And I just remember thinking about so many people also don't know how to craft a resume or a cover letter, or they don't have good interview skills. Mm-hmm. And I would just do that for students at times that I knew. I would do it for friends that I knew. But then...
Oh, Shep, yeah.
Me included.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
But like 6 seconds is what they say it takes for a recruiter, a high-volume recruiter, to go through your resume.
6 seconds?
So you're gonna So you're going to spend hours on this document, whereas someone like me is going to review it in six. So I've counted myself. It's about 9 or 10 seconds. Wow. But in that amount of time, you know, I tell people it's like a dating app, where it's like quickly you're going to swipe left or right when you see it.
Okay.
So I was... talking with one of my friends who was an assistant manager at the store I worked at for Banana Republic, and she was looking to potentially get out of retail and wanted me to kind of help her out with her resume, and redid her resume. And I just remember her asking me, she's like, how much do I owe you? And I'd always did it for like friends and family. Mm-hmm. So I was like nothing. She's like, no. Like, she's like, you need to charge for this. This is good.
It's good. That had to make you feel good.
It did.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's like, unfortunately, she was like, you should start doing something on the side where you do people's resumes. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea, because I could probably get a lot more out of this. So long story short, started another business called Premier Career.
Okay.
Where basically I help people with crafting a resume, cover letter, creating a LinkedIn profile, showing them how to navigate LinkedIn when they're looking for jobs, but also how to network, creating Indeed accounts, doing mock interviews with people. But whether you're looking to get your first job, or whether you're looking to advance in your career, you know, I'm working with people who maybe are doing their first resume. I'm working with people who have been in the same position for 20, 25 years, but looking to get into a new field. So, you know, kind of everything under the sun. And then at times too, I'll go to like groups of high school students or college students and do presentations on how to maximize your job search, career search, things like that. And then I was doing a leadership talk at Penn State about a year or so ago. And they asked me, how do we pay you? They're like, do we pay you like through one of your businesses? But I'm like, it doesn't really go under one of the businesses.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, just write me the check. So they did that. But having the business mindset now, I was like, well, going there, that's a tax write-off for like gas.
Right.
If I get food on the way, all these things. So I was like, what could I do to kind of encompass so much of everything else that I'd like to do? So I started a business called the Guy Organization. So my middle name is Guy.
What?
So it basically goes off of that.
Donovan Guy Lindsay.
But the Guy Organization just really focuses on kind of motivating and helping people kind of overcome different obstacles. And then the last business I started, which is a nonprofit organization, but when I started College Knowledge, I wanted it to be a nonprofit organization. So nonprofit organizations takes a lot of paperwork.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I started the for-profit business, and I was like, long term, I do want to start a nonprofit business. So College Knowledge Foundation is the most recent business that I started last December as a 501 C3.
Oh, it's official.
Yeah. Yeah. We got the paperwork that from is a lot the IRS in late December of last year. So I remember texting my mom, and she was like, "You're the only person excited to get a letter from the IRS."
Yeah, really? So, like, you just run off of, like, coffee and 1 hour of sleep, or, like, how
do
you
do this? It's funny. I remember being in college where my roommates all drank coffee, and I never drink coffee, and still to this day, like, I love the aroma. Yeah. If I could smell coffee all day, that's probably a scent that I would like to smell all day, but I can't stand the taste. Yeah, no coffee, but I run off of something. I don't know what it is.
Something for sure. That's wild. So let's, like, back up with College Knowledge. So you found a need, and it sounds like a pretty crucial need, because,
yeah,
you know, I remember when I was in high school back in 2011. Wow. you know, it's a very big push, you know, four-year college, you know, mm-hmm. go to four-year college. But you're right, like, FAFSA and, you know, university compared to a college, compared to, you know, your state schools, compared to, you know, community college.
Sure.
Like,
there's so much.
Yeah, there's so much. What was it like for you to be like, okay, you find this need, you know, I'm going to start this business? Like, what was that kind of that journey like?
So, again, thinking about it, I'm like, I know where I have strengths and I know where my weaknesses are. So, like, one of the things, I'm like, I'm not very organized. I need someone that I know is very organized.
Yeah.
I know social media. I don't know social media well. I definitely know it a lot better, of course, starting a business. But when it comes to, like, graphic design, designing logos, designing, like, those types of things, like, I can do a really nice basic PowerPoint.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I need other people to kind of help spruce me out it with up. X, Y, and Z. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, too, I'm someone who feeds off of other people's energy. So when I'm a huge extrovert, like, I get my energy when I'm around people. So, like, being around people and just being able to have conversations is very different than me. You know, I take a bunch of naps throughout the day.
Okay.
If
yeah.
If I'm not like interacting with people, you give me a group of people to talk to, I'm up to 3-4 in the morning with no problem. Like, I don't even know it's 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, knowing that, I, you know, begin to just find people to help volunteer to help me out, kind of crafting and developing what, you know, is now College Knowledge, where we started with one session. But one thing I know I've learned about business is you have to listen to your customer. Like, at times you have what you think is a great idea. And I feel like with business too, you have to be very stubborn on what the end goal is or what your goals are, mm-hmm. but very flexible on how to get there.
Yeah.
So I remember thinking, I'll do every once in a while a virtual session on Zoom, maybe twice a month, do something like that. Whereas I talked to my GM at Banana Republic, had her read my business plan. And she's like, "Donovan, you're selling yourself short. You could also do, like, in-person sessions. You could also do, like, one-on-one sessions where you're doing the same content mm-hmm. that you're doing." Because our target population of students that we try to help is first-generation students who, you know, their parents didn't go to college. They're the first in their family to go. Low income, but then also minority students. Because those are the ones that struggle the most figuring out college.
Mm-hmm.
And also when they get to college, like, how can we help them be successful when they are when they're just starting their search? So her knowing that and kind of reading the business plan, she's like, "I know one of your audiences is low income, so you want to keep the session prices low, but," she's like, "you can charge more to do, like, a one-on-one session doing the same thing, but then that extra money that you're making, you can help that audience a little bit more." So that just, you know, got my brain start going. So I've done in-person sessions. This summer alone, I spoke to about 1,800 high school students in the state of Pennsylvania.
1,800?
Yeah. All through, all were rising high school juniors or rising high school seniors.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, thinking about 3 years ago, I think the first year, maybe 100 or two students. And then now, I think this year alone, we're knocking on the door of about 2,000 or so. Just to look at that and get the students' feedback, it's like, okay, they're asking these questions. I need to alter this a little bit. They're asking these questions about community colleges. Let's develop a whole session on community colleges. And maybe that's not my expertise, but I know people who's worked at community colleges.
Right.
You know, I don't have the expertise as much in financial aid as my friend Nick does. So I was like, Nick, how about you help me with this? And, you know, he was able to help me talk about how do we do a session like that. So, you know, looking at what the needs are, I'm like, if I've got the knowledge, why not?
Yeah.
Why not try to get
this out there? It's all about networking, right? I mean, it's all about networking.
Hugely, hugely networking. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that I would... I can't think of any of my businesses. None of them would be where I'm at now if it wasn't because of the networking. Like, I can't even express how much I do that.
It's a key for sure. So I got to ask then, how did you two meet? How did you meet Shep? Shep, how did you meet Don?
Yeah, so let's backtrack to
please, yeah,
spring
yeah.
of 2011. I was in my junior year of high school.
I had hair on my head, just throwing that out there. 2011.
I had a clean chin too, so I was looking for places to go to college, you know, looking to be a surveyor. And I think, as I said before, there was only one college on the East Coast that had a surveying program that, you know, I was interested in, and thankfully it was only an hour and a half away. So, you know, April, I think it was, we go up and take a tour of the campus, and my tour guide was none other than the great
Don. No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
wow.
I think I ended up taking two trips, two visits, you know, one my junior year and then one to my senior year just to make sure.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Donovan was the tour guy both times.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So
Donovan's pretty good then, because he sold you. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a great salesman. And, you know, he did a follow-up call after my second visit because I was part of what the Lion Ambassadors did up at Penn State Wilkes-Barre, was, you know, following up with the people that they gave tours with and stuff. And then, you know, fast forward to my freshman year of college, I'm moving in. There's Donovan again.
Doesn't go away.
Yeah,
I like it. He's persistent.
He was staying at the off-campus housing that I was staying at, helping the freshmen move in.
That's wild.
Later that week, I have my new student orientation. Guess who's there again?
Well, I'm a betting man to stop.
he was super involved in campus, and, you know, since, like you said, he is an extrovert, he made sure that, like, all the freshmen, like, he got to know them, figure out what their interests were, and be like, oh, hey, you know, like, since you like this, here's a good club that you should get involved in. So, you know, I got involved in Lion Ambassadors and student government and, you know, the Surveying Society, obviously. That was a given.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so we developed a friendship over the years. My wife Hannah and him were in the same major, administration of justice. So they, you know, it was a small campus. It was a close knit group. And since we were all involved in the clubs, you know, we hung out a lot, we interacted a lot, and it just kind of stuck through. You know, he was a bridesman.
I think bridesman would be the correct term.
Yeah, he was a bridesman in our wedding.
All right.
And then I stayed out with him when he was in Altoona for a job interview one time. And then when he moved back to Camp Hill, we kind of gave him a tour. And, you know, we have business meetings Friday nights now. And
yeah.
Every Friday night?
For the most part.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we all know each other, maybe, you know, you can invite me on Friday. I'll make the trip. Courtney, can you watch kids, please?
You're invited.
Yeah, bring them.
I mean, we can at least talk. But,
more the merrier.
So let me ask you this, Shep. Do you think if you never met Donovan, your life, you'd be on a completely different path?
Oh, absolutely. Even my college experience in general, you know, if I wouldn't have gone to Penn State Wilkes-Barre, I wouldn't have met Donovan. I wouldn't have met Hannah. I'd probably still, you know, be at home and
be surveying.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, not going to school for it, but... Donovan definitely had a strong impact on my life, a positive impact for sure. And he's been a great mentor as far as careers and resumes and, and just general, you know, life.
I think it's crazy how one decision in life, how, you know, there's so many dominoes that can fall different ways, but that one thing can, you know, change your big life or small. Drastically. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, one thing, too, that I'll mention, that on campus we had this program for helping students kind of navigate through that first year called the Student Support Services. And I was a mentee of the program. Each student of the program had like a mentor, and each mentor had maybe five or six mentees. And just so happened when my freshman year was up, I went to them and I was like, hey, I went to the staff. It's like, hey, I'd like to be a mentor. Like, mine was great for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd love to be able to do that for, you know, incoming freshmen. So went to the guy's office who was in charge of it. His name was Alan. And Alan looks at me. He goes, oh, okay. He's like, you know, it's paid too, right? Which I didn't. And I was just like,
even
I'd love
better.
To.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm extremely interested.
Yeah.
But that next year I got my list of mentees, and Taylor is actually one of the mentees.
Wow. I forgot
that
about that.
Also
yeah.
on the list. So yeah, lots of different intersections crazy? And crossing and points.
It's also interesting how the Student Support Services ties into the College Knowledge Foundation, because one of the things that you need to, that qualifies you for Student Support Services, is being a first generation college student.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And you know, that was me. So they were able to, kind of like College Knowledge, now obviously it was specific towards that campus, but they were there to support you, to give you all of the introductions to, like, you know, not only are you a freshman in college and this is all new, but like yeah. college as a whole.
Yeah, they think about you. That connection. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That is extremely similar.
Yeah, shout out to Gail again.
Yeah, shout out to Gail. Send her the link. Make sure she subscribes and listens.
Oh, yeah. I greatly appreciate that. Gail, thank you for listening. So you guys briefly mentioned like mentors. Who's been a mentor in each of your lives that you'd like to shout out, or somebody that's helped you along your way?
Honestly, like, I believe when I think of mentors and mentees, I think, you know, he's saying that I was a mentor, and I feel like he was also a mentor. Like, there's so many people where I feel like they look at mentoring one way, where a lot of the times the mentor learns so much also from the mentee. So I honestly can't pinpoint one specific person. I, though, will say I am, if you could mask my voice and not see who I was, you would say me and my mom are the same person.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, just seeing how, and she's, you know, someone who's extremely helpful to people, extremely caring. When I think about, and like, just what she does, I don't put together that, like, she taught me how to do that, but just me watching her do it, I do so much of the things. And unfortunately, our mindsets are extremely similar, where, you know, I'll take, you know, I remember living in Altoona when I was working at Penn State Altoona, driving 4 hours to surprise my mom for something.
Wow.
And some people are like, you drove 4 hours? And like, for me, I wouldn't think twice about it, but I know my mom also wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, like, level of like caring and helping and trying to go out of your way for people, I think just for, you know, from birth, from 32 years ago,
yeah.
that that's someone consistently that I kind of will mimic and follow, and is why I do so much of what I do now. But I think so many people that I've met, you know, who don't even know that they've helped me in some way, shape, or form, and maybe I was a formal or informal mentor to them, where they talk to me about things, and I'm like, well, I learned this from you, and you opened my eyes to this, and you opened my eyes to this. So for me, I always see, you know, mentoring, there's countless people that I could say has influenced so much of what I do now.
Yeah. And like, it's a two-way street, like you're saying.
Correct.
You know, the mentee can teach the mentor.
Yeah. And they don't, as a mentee, you don't grasp that concept,
I
feel.
I never
really thought about that. But as a mentor, you know, if you really look back, you're like, well, before I knew them, I wasn't doing this, or I didn't know this, or I didn't know this, or, you know, it's almost like a blind relationship that's flipped.
Shep, how about yourself?
I try to go through life with some perspective. You know, like, I know how I'm feeling, but when I'm interacting with somebody, I think, you know, like, what are they thinking about differently that I'm, you know, may not necessarily agree with, but just helps me understand them. So in a way, like, every single interaction I have with somebody, I'm learning something from them. So, you know, I try to have that mentality to go through life, and I think it helps me be the well-rounded person I am today.
For sure. Gentlemen, let's take a sip break. to pick back up, you know, because college, right, can be intimidating. Just the word, right, can be mm-hmm. daunting, can make people uneasy. Why do you think that is? And what does college knowledge do to help students, you know, overcome kind of that fear?
I think so much of it is a misconception of what they need to do to get there because of so many people having very different viewpoints on how to get there.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I think so many people know, you know, the goal that I have right now is I want to enroll in, you know, a four-year institution, get a degree in this, and go do this. That's their goal. That's what they're thinking. They have no idea what that roadmap looks like. So you go on Google, you ask a friend, you ask a parent who went to college, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
A little while ago. Yeah.
You ask, you're asking all these people, but there's no definitive, this is what you need to do. And you can find that places, but so many of the places that you can find that, it's not always very easily accessible. And it's also not, I would say, friendly when it comes to step by step, here's what you need to do. So when I remember thinking about starting college knowledge, I remember asking my sister, who was a junior in high school at the time. Her name's Tiara. I was like, Tiara, what are you doing? What are your friends doing? I mean, she's using her big brother, of course, for a resource. But what are your friends doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, just really going to Google because she was saying how their high school didn't do much to, they didn't talk to them much about it.
Yeah.
So I remember clearing my browsing history one day. Like, I was my first time searching for colleges. And I found some really good websites. I found some websites that weren't so good. But even the ones that were very good, when you go to their website, there's tons of content. There's tons of information. But it's overwhelming because you don't know what you need when.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a high school sophomore or high school, you know, junior in 11th grade and you've got all these things, it's like, well, it's saying I need to do essays, but it's like, well, when do I need to do essays? How should I craft my essay? Then you go to Google and it's like, well, don't do this, this, this. Yeah. Or God forbid you go to Reddit and you've got all these people who are like, I look at some of the things on Reddit and I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like they're going to this and then you've got all these other comments. Oh, that was so helpful. And I'm like, no.
Right? Yeah, that's not the way. Yeah, that's not
that's
the right
not
way.
The right way at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at when I started college knowledge, I was like, I want there to be a place that students can, a resource that students can go to, where not only are we providing the knowledge, but the tools and the resources, whether it's us creating those tools and resources and knowledge, or us being almost that bridge to let them know, here's actually a reputable website that can let you know, here's what you need to do as it relates to this, or this, or this, or this. So like my goal hasn't even been to, you know, I want to be the end all be all platform for everything, but I'm like, what things could we do ourselves, but what things that we don't have to do that already exist out there? How can we partner kind of with other organizations that we know as professionals? Because I've got, I've had many interns to help me who volunteered to help the business grow, who share the kind of the vision and the goals and the mission of the organization. I've had, you know, professionals like Shep here who, you know, who are working full time, but they volunteer to help. And I have people who have worked in college admissions or financial aid to also help. So it's like all these people offer very varying and different perspectives. And I try to do that because you never know what questions people are going to have about college, but also giving perspective of like content wise, such as being a first generation college student like him, you know, how do we put that twist on this? Like, yes, we've got the content, but someone first generation, they may not know these terms. How do we maybe just even explain these terms a little bit more as we're going through, you know, the vocabulary of it all? So, you know, for me, my mindset is students, I know students don't go to college because no one's ever potentially told them that they can go or it's a possibility for them, or that students don't go simply because they don't have the knowledge, tools, and resources. Yeah. And if I can give them that, great. I don't care if they go to college, but I care that they have the resources to at least make an informed decision as if it's for them, because we developed a session basically called Is College for Me, where we kind of go through long term based off of what your end goal is. Maybe college isn't for you. Maybe that's a trade school. Maybe that's just getting work. Like, there's so many different options. But first off, getting them to figure out that, and then if college is, we've got 12 sessions we've developed now that can help you get to that stage. But I don't want you not to go because you don't have the information. We have the information. go to our website, sign up for a session, send us a DM on Instagram or something, and we can kind of point you into that direction.
Well, I feel like that first session, that should be offered like at every high school. You should be going to every high school in America, because so many kids don't know. Like, and I shouldn't say kids, but students. And I remember, you know, I didn't know. So I was like, well, I'll go to Kutztown, because I did track and field. I was a thrower. So I was like, I'll go to Kutztown, getting graphic arts, because I'll be having the print shop. But like, looking back there, you know, maybe I should focus more on sales, because now that's what I'm doing for a career, you know. And it's just like, when you're so young, you're just like, okay, four-year school, well, I'll go to Penn State because I love the football team, or I'll go here or here, you know.
And so often,
yeah,
that's how so many people are choosing schools. They're not looking at the academics of it all, or what it can help them do long term. They're not looking at career services and how good they're preparing them to get a job or an internship or those types of things. They're looking at, my boyfriend or girlfriend's going here.
Yeah.
My mom or dad went here. Yeah. Like, there's all these different things that I'm like, that shouldn't weigh on your decision at all.
Yeah, it's like these outside pressures, right? Or influences. Yeah.
This is where my sibling went. It's close to home.
So I should go there. Yeah.
I can commute. I mean, that's definitely a more valid reason. But as far as the academic standpoint, it shouldn't, like, you're being able to commute or not shouldn't be a difference. I've been over here smirking this whole time. I was waiting for you to just say it. So every time we have our team meetings, he always uses the word tailor, like the tailoring it.
Okay.
Oh, tailor. Yeah. So the point of College Knowledge Foundation is to develop a program tailored to the the students.
Yeah.
And like, he's explaining this and I'm just waiting for it. You know, I'm just waiting for him to say it.
Yeah.
So if you won't, I will.
I was going to say, when we're on Zoom and we're having the team meetings, I so subconsciously do it.
Yeah.
And then I just happen to look at his box after and I'm like,
yeah, because I always think he's talking to me. I'm you know, what did I miss?
Right. This Taylor.
He said, no, the other Taylor. I'm like, just use a different word, you know, customized or personalized.
Personalized, yeah.
And Taylor, none of those words pop into my head. No, and at times, too, like I will like almost stumble on what I'm saying because I'm trying to think of a different word.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got nothing.
Just tailored.
But like
just
after tailored. The fact, I'm like, personalized, yeah. Customized, yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah.
I'm going to get him a thesaurus for Christmas.
There you go. I love it. So the goal of College Knowledge, right, is to educate, you know, seniors or high school students in general, right? That way they can better make a decision. You'd say that's the overall goal. It's not necessarily to...
Tailored to their needs.
Tailored to their needs. Yep. Perfect. Okay.
This is the most he's ever said this. I'm so excited
for it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm called Shep over here, so Taylor works.
Yeah.
But like so often too, like when you look at seniors, before a high school student's senior starts their senior year, August 1st is when so many universities open up their application. So like, I'm really trying to reach so many students, if I can, you know, as early as their first year in high school, when they're in ninth grade, so they can begin to at least think about it. And then 10th grade, you know, maybe that's when you're exploring, what are the SATs? You know, what are the ACTs? Do any of the schools that I'm interested in require those? 11th grade, that's when maybe I start to visit now. So that you've kind of got all your ducks in a row, your I's dotted, your T's crossed when August 1st comes. Because we used to, I remember being at Penn State, we used to almost like the morning of August 1st, if it was a weekday, we'd be looking at how many students applied at midnight. Because students will.
Wow.
But like, there's so many students December of their senior year who haven't even thought about college yet. And I'm like, the intense pressure and stress just of your senior year alone with all that you have going on, in addition to starting that your college journey later, it's like, I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
But that happens. So I'm like, the earlier we can start, I try to connect with other nonprofit organizations, any type of organization that helps or has a captive audience of high school students, I try to connect with. But then also now as a nonprofit organization, I think we're probably going to be in a much better position to connect with actual high schools to kind of come in and partner with their high school counseling staff or their college advising office to be like, hey, what can we do? How can we work together? What do you do that we can kind of complement? Or maybe you're not doing something where I can come in and just do a session on college essays or a session on college interviews, or, you know, just applying and filling out the application, kind of helping them. And one of the benefits that I feel that we have outside of universities, because as a recruiter for a university, you're going to go as an admissions counselor and talk about college, but from your school's perspective, whereas I'm doing it and it's completely unbiased.
Yes, yes.
Where you don't get that so much where people are going into high schools talking about a school, because usually it's an admissions counselor coming from X university, because you're paying, they're paying your paycheck. Mm-hmm. You're talking specifically.
Yep, yeah. It's, you know, the best university. It's
tailoring
best
it to them.
Oh boy, here we go. I like this.
But like, yeah, from our perspective, it's like I can get in and like just generalized information. Here's what you need to know. Whereas we're not talking specifically or pushing any type of institution, any place or anything like that. Like, we stay extremely unbiased, but here are the tools. What you do with it now, how you use these tools are up to you, but at least you have these, and now you can go on your own and your family potentially helping you making those, you know, making those long-term decisions.
You had mentioned volunteers. So how can people get involved? Where can they go to volunteer? And also I want to talk too about Shep, like what is Shep's role at the foundation?
Yeah, so I mean, just pretty much going to our website or contacting him or I, just saying that you're interested. I mean, we're on most of the social media platforms of Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, where we're posting things all the time. But going to our website, there's something on there that says volunteer where you can connect with us. Shep and his wife Hannah have been very, very supportive since before I started this, when I just had the idea.
Okay.
And one day we were sitting in his living room, and we were talking, reminiscing about our college days. And I just remember talking about I, again, not being someone who's very organized. I was like, I need someone to help with like how to keep us organized. How can we have different types of systems and these things, like if you saw my desk, the amount of post-its in different colors and the amount of time those post-its have also been there, because I'm like, I'll get to it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a year later. And literally, I've thrown away a post-it on my desk.
That's
like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's organized chaos. But I'm like, uh-huh, I definitely should have done this then. Or maybe if we had a system or a platform, yeah, and those types of things. So we were just talking about like where, you know, kind of his skill set is and where he's strong. And I'm like, yeah. And he had joked about, he's like, yeah, I can be like the COO. I can be like the chief opera. I was like, say less. Like, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Right. Like, I'll give you the title. I'll give you the access. Like, you help. You tell me how,
yeah,
you want to do this. So he's definitely been extremely instrumental in developing so many types of things and finding so many different types of platforms to keep us organized, but also then run the platforms and give people access and figure out the different nuances and then help the team whenever they may need things. But like, that's not something that, because you know, you're so busy running a business, it's like all these pieces, and someone to just kind of take ownership, but not only take ownership, but someone you don't have to check on or like be like, is he doing this or is he doing this? Like, he just knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And when you have that trust in someone, that alleviates so much, so many other things on your mind, I'd say.
Yeah. Thanks, Don.
I was going to say that says a lot about Shep, right? Because I feel like it's your baby, it's your business, it's your brainchild, you know, your mm-hmm. ideas, but you trust him. And I feel like sometimes as, you know, business owners or entrepreneurs, it can be hard to delegate, or at least I sometimes find it hard, because you know, you have a vision and you want to keep it to that vision, you want to keep it structured and stuff, but yet you know what you're strong at, you know what your weaknesses are,
yeah,
and you're like, this guy's organized, he can come up with ideas.
And I don't even say now that it's easy for me to do, because there's times where I'm like, wait, that's, this person should be doing that, or this person should be doing that. And even at times he's said to me, he's like, shouldn't I be doing that? And I really like that he has the trust in me to be like, I can, you know, that type of relationship where he can say, hey, like, shouldn't I be doing this and not you? And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Like, yeah, I'd like that. So having people like that you trust is extremely beneficial, but also having, like, I like to create an environment wherever I go, whether it's a working environment, like a professional environment or something where I'm having fun, creating an environment of psychological safety where people, because most of the time when you're at the top of something, people don't feel comfortable disagreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So on my team, what I try to do is I try to create an environment where I know I'm not always right. I know I'm not the smartest person in all these different areas. That's why you all are here. So tell me where I'm wrong. I remember we were actually creating a a mascot for College Knowledge, which if you look at it, like, it looks pretty much, it's like me. It looks like me. Mascot is Don the Knowledge Guy.
Don the Knowledge Guy. I got to check this mascot out. Oh, you don't have like a little sticker sound, a little flush? Okay, you can pull up your phone. Yeah, okay.
So like looking at the mascot, I didn't like two or three things about it, but the rest of the team did. But then our some of them were like, oh, well, we have to change it. And I'm like, I never said you had to change it. I just said I wasn't a fan of adding this or this.
Yeah.
They're like, well, like, if you don't like it, we can't do it. And I'm like, that's not at all what I said.
Yeah.
Like, so the mascot is how the team wanted it to be. But, like, giving, letting them know, I yes, I can make the final decision on anything. But if I do that, that doesn't promote you being creative. That doesn't promote you looking at it from a different lens and perspective that I'm looking at it from. So being able to have a team like that, that I can develop to be like, no, you're wrong here, or I would suggest this over this. Like, for me, that's what you want in a team. But unfortunately, we don't get that because, you know, leaders, I feel, don't often create that environment of psychological safety where yes. people feel comfortable disagreeing with the person at the top or someone who's, you know, directly above them.
Mm-hmm. Did you pull it up?
Yeah. There's
Don. Oh, that's awesome. Don the Knowledge Guy. I love that. Oh, sick. Okay. Oh, all right. All right. And we're going to shout out social media handles then and everything. Okay, yep. Cool. So what would you say for both of you? This question is really for both of you. What are some life lessons that you've learned that would help the listeners?
I would say one of my biggest life lessons that, or two, I would say is, I remember listening to a video on YouTube by, it was an interview with Gene Wilder, the guy who originally played in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I remember him saying, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. So often I feel we fixate on, if I only had this, this would be better. If I only was driving this car, if I only had this much money, if I only had this house, if I was only dating this person. But then you get there and you realize that's not at all what was right for you. That's not at all what you wanted. I think for me, really trusting and enjoying the journey of something rather than the end goal. Because once you're there, you're there. You really don't have that time to appreciate all of the things that got you there. You don't have that time to appreciate the people that helped you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think that I've really learned over time to really try to enjoy what's happening in the moment. And then similarly, I would say at times that I've been annoyed or disappointed have been times where I have met someone or, you know, I was talking with someone and I basically created them in my head how I pictured them to be. Whereas, you know, people are going to show up how they're going to show up. They're going to be them. But oftentimes when we're disappointed in someone, we've set expectations that, you know, they don't have those expectations for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of holding them to a higher standard. So kind of just meeting people kind of where they are and not putting unrealistic expectations on them simply because this is what you've developed about them in your head.
Oh, those are two great ones. I love it. Yeah.
Be a sponge for starters, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
Always ask questions, always observe what people around you are doing, how they're doing it and why they're doing it. You never know when in your life that something you've experienced in the past is going to come back where you can use those skills. Perspective, again, you know, whenever you disagree with somebody about something, just try to look at it from their point of view, because even though you don't necessarily agree with it, it gives you an understanding of why they feel that way, and it helps you, especially in a working environment, communicate with that person so you can both reach the same goals. I did have a third one. What was it?
Something that he said when he was talking about, you know, be a sponge and ask questions. One of my favorite people that I'll listen to, and I have most of his books, Simon Sinek.
Okay.
He has this little short clip on YouTube that I show people all the time where they, I forget the title of the video, but he talks about, he's like, I'm not afraid to be the idiot in the room. He's like, you know, I was doing a presentation to these executives one day, and then someone else is doing a presentation, and the presenter is talking about all these different things to these top executives. And he's like, I just keep raising my hand. He's like, I don't understand. Can you explain this? And then he's like, basically asked him again, can you dumb this down? Can you dumb this down? And then he goes, okay, now I get it. And then after the fact, he was talking with the executives and they were like, yeah, they were presenting. We didn't get it either.
But they were too afraid to raise their hand and say something.
So he's like, I'm not afraid to be the idiot in the room because, like, I just want to learn. I want to know. So, like, don't be afraid to ask those questions regardless of the environment, because you're never going to be the only one in the room that doesn't, you know, that doesn't know that. So I think for me, too, I try, like I was saying just with my mom earlier, like, being that sponge and getting so much, because you never know what you're going to use and when you're going to be able to overcome some obstacle, you know, moving forward.
I remembered. Sweet. I had recently watched a video that had a bunch of legendary actors. I think it was like Tom Hanks and Robert De Niro, Matt Damon, like all those guys. And Tom Hanks was talking about "This Too Shall Pass."
They're sitting at a table.
I've seen the round table.
I didn't want to throw it up, but keep going.
Things are going really good. Just remember, this too shall pass. Things are going terrible. Yeah. You know, you think you've hit rock bottom. This too shall pass. Kind of gives you a bit of optimism towards the future. You know, things that, just remember, like, things are constantly changing. No matter where you are in your life, what you think is going to happen, it's all up in the air. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Dropping some knowledge here, college knowledge on the American Grown podcast. No, guys, I love it. Something my grandfather taught me, since you guys dropped some really good stuff.
Yeah, hit us with it.
You know, he's 86. He started our company back in 1980, two partners. But he's always said you treat everyone with respect, whether it's the guy holding the door, the guy mopping the floor, because you never know who you're talking to. You know, you never know, and you treat everyone with respect, because at the end of the day, we're all human, right?
Yeah.
And that person could know somebody that then's going to help you in life, or that person could be a CEO and you just happen to be passing. So going back to being, you know, chivalry, I think that's the right word, you know, and just being respectful, and just, you know, everyone's human. So at the end of the day, treat people like you want to be treated. The golden rule, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what my grandfather's always said. So
when I worked at Penn State Altoona, the chancellor there, chancellor and dean, her name was Lori. I remember her talking to me about, we just talked about leadership today. So I have my master's degree is in psychology of leadership. Like, I love to talk about leadership. And I remember her talking to me about how, you know, we look at an organization, every piece makes it function. So she goes, I don't view myself as doing a better job or more important of a job than the person who comes in the office at night and, you know, potentially cleans up. Because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be able to do my job. If I wasn't doing my job, they might be able to do their job. So it's like, you, when you look at, like, all the pieces in the puzzle, like, you know, for me, you know, running different businesses, I don't look at myself as any more important when it comes to the operations of the business. I'm doing something, they're doing something. I view myself as more important because I'm in charge of the vision and I'm making sure that we get there and we're going in the right direction of that vision. As long as we're kind of always going in that direction, I don't care if there's detours, because we can get there a different way, which is why you have a team. But when we're in a meeting, I'm the last one to talk. I feel as a leader, you should be the last one to talk, because oftentimes someone that is above you coming to you saying, hey, here are the problems. Here's what I think we should do. What are your thoughts? If you disagree, you're not going to disagree normally, unless, again, you have that environment, really, of psychological safety. But so often, you can't be that first person, if you're leading the charge, to answer the question, because then your subordinates or the other people, they're not going to feel comfortable then coming to you with their solutions, because you gave them what you want to do. So if you go against that, it's like, they may not like me. Whereas, you know, you really sit back, take in, like he was saying, like being a sponge, take in all of what you have. Of course, you probably have ideas, but now I'm able to take some of Shep's ideas. I'm able to take this person's ideas and then combine those. And then we've got an amazing solution instead of a good solution that anyone could have come up with.
There you go. Previous guest on the podcast, Adam Kuhn, he's a State Farm rep and has a State Farm here, had mentioned that, you know, the logo on the door or the sign on the door, the logo on your chest, it's because of the people behind it, you know, the people that are working, you know what I mean? And of course you need your clientele and everything, but he's like, it's the team. It's all about the team at the end of the day. It's all about people and knowledge here on College of Knowledge on the American Girl podcast. Seriously, that's what it's all about. I think education, right? You always want to further your education. So now let's talk about your website. When people go to your website, when students go to your website, what should they be looking for and what will they kind of see?
So one of the first things that you'll see is, you know, we've got different sessions. On the homepage, there's a link to sessions on the you know, as you scroll, but also at the top, that top menu bar. So all the different services and sessions that we offer, ranging from, again, right at the beginning, is college even for you, to, you know, how do you maximize your college visit? And then I would say another resource that, or another thing that go down is the student resources tab, where we have like an application and scholarship tracker, where students have no idea where they need to start. They go to that. They're like, oh, well, here's a tracker, and it gives me all the different points that I should go to on the website. So you, let's say I'm looking at, you know, like where we went, for instance, Penn State. You're looking at that, and then you have no idea. You know you're interested, but now you go across the tabs on the Google Sheets page, and it's like, well, when is the application open? When is it closed? Do they require letters of reference? So it's like we've developed all of that because, yes, we can give them the knowledge through a session, but if they first off don't have the help at home or at school, they still need that next step.
Yes.
So yeah. We're trying to not only provide the knowledge, but go to our website and then also look at what are the, you know, the top five free scholarship websites where you can search for scholarships. You know, what are the different types of applications you can use to apply to colleges? You know, most people don't know there could be four ways that you can apply to one school. So really? It's like looking at like all those different things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, like looking at the student resources page is probably one of the better pages, and then simply the contact us page, because you may not be able to navigate the website well, or something's misplaced, or you're like, I need some more help than this. But, you know, just going there to the contact us page and let us know how we can help you, you know, with their journey.
I saw on your website at the bottom, you have links for, I think it's Spotify and Apple. I know it's Spotify for sure.
Yeah.
So what's, you started a podcast. What's the name? What do you talk about? Tell us.
So Untapped Knowledge for College is the podcast. And we're midway through season two. And the guests that we've had offer very varying perspectives, as you know, like just so many different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, really just the goal, you know, one of our goals is to get knowledge out there. But again, when I started the business, the way that we got the knowledge out there was to get our sessions on Zoom and meet with people. But knowing now that you need to be flexible with that, with how you achieve getting the knowledge out there, one of the ways that we do that is, you know, through our website, putting things on there, information, reels on our different social media platforms, but then also just a podcast where we have students on the podcast. Current college students talking about their journey help high school students.
Okay.
Current high school students talking about the struggles that they may be going through. We've had people who work in financial aid, people who work in college admissions, coming to talk about like what should students be doing, but all of them, you know, offering their own unique, of course, perspectives on, so you can get that, you know, that 360 well-rounded viewpoint of,
yeah,
this episode, you may have one or two things that you can relate to, but the next one, you may have 10 things. So, as you know, everyone's going to get something different out of it.
And that's such a unique angle, I think, for a podcast, right? To have, you know, current college students or, you know, sophomores, juniors that are looking to go to college and get their perspective and their take.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, if you're in a room of people, you know, what's the chances you're going to stand up and be like, can you explain that again? Dumb it down for me, right?
Correct, yeah.
But if it's a one-on-one experience over a podcast, those students, I'm sure, are more likely to share things, and then that will only benefit, you know, upcoming freshmen, sophomores, juniors, and then seniors to make the right decisions, you know.
Exactly.
I really like that. Wow. That kind of got me excited. I was like, oh, that's an interesting, you know, idea for a podcast. I like that. And mm-hmm. So what's the name again, and where can people find it?
Untapped Knowledge for College. Currently Spotify, audio version, and then also on YouTube, we've got the videos from all the different podcasts.
Perfect. So the items you brought with you, let's talk a little bit about, we got two items here. We got a hat and sign, well, the guy organization. So let's talk about that.
So yeah, and one of the things too, I was going to say that I was also going to bring, but I knew you'd have it here, is just a microphone. But I would say with the guy organization, as you see the logo, when I was thinking about logo, like what could this be? I had no idea. I was just like, I want it to be something nice, something, you know, that looks good. But I put in what I was thinking about the business being, and on some random website that was like a free logo maker. And there's basically this, it looks like a person in the middle of this circle on this square, basically pulling someone up. So when I think about every business that I've started, and what I wake up and get the most satisfaction in doing is helping people overcome an obstacle to get to that next step. So when I saw that logo, I remember taking a picture of it and sending it to my mom, and basically She was like, yeah, like that makes sense. We were in the car one day a few years ago, and I hadn't seen her in a while. We text her, like, you know, we're video chatting daily, but I haven't seen her in person in a while. And I just remember just spewing out information to my mom because we hadn't talked in a while, and I'm just talking and talking. And I remember she looked over at me. She's like, I really believe you were put on this earth to help people. She's like, every single thing that you've told me and every single story that you have revolved around you helping someone overcome something or feel more comfortable doing something. So I felt like that logo for the guy organization was, you know, it really embodies what I wake up every morning and what basically I set out, you know, what I set out to do.
100%. And before we started recording, you mentioned a letter that you had forgotten to bring with, but you had gotten a letter.
Yeah.
Did you want to share that? You want to talk about that a little
bit? Yeah. So I did a session this, a couple of sessions with this summer with an nonprofit organization, PFEW, Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week. And they allowed me to come last year, but also this year, where I was able to speak to the 1,800 students. Wow. And they tell the students, it's not required at all, but they tell the students that they can write like thank you letters to some of the presenters. Mm-hmm. So one of the letters that I got from one of the students talked about how she wasn't even thinking about going to college before my presentation, but because of my presentation, basically, she was then able to look at it as not nearly as a daunting task as it was prior. And when I remember reading that short part of the end of her letter, I was like, that's it. I've won. Yeah. So when you look at a business, I remember talking to people that are like, well, how many people do you want to reach in your first year? And I was like, well, I don't have a goal of that. And I was like, I want to make sure, I always say, you know, you treat that person like the VIP. If I'm talking to you right now, how can I make you feel like you're the most important person in the room and kind of walk you through any of the challenges that you're going through? Now, it's hard to do in a large setting, but you try to really, really try to tailor the information to all of the people in the room. But being able to see a letter like that, I'm like, that's winning.
Yeah.
Not talking to 1,000 students, but talking to that one student who wasn't even thinking about going to college because they saw it as this huge mountain to climb. And now, you know, I've just given them some dynamite basically to kind of break through that and be like, oh, all I have to do is this, this, and this. And then if I need more help, I have to, you know, I just have to look up Don the Knowledge Guy.
There you go. Yeah. You changed the course of her life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your mom's 100% correct. You're put on this earth to help people. And I just met, this is the first time I met him, you know, and I truly believe that as well.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, seriously. It's amazing. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I mean, then the last thing I was going to say was just the microphone.
Yes.
You know, I've definitely evolved as someone who speaks in front of an audience. When I was younger, I would do different things at, like school or church or different things. But I remember my first class in college being CAS 100. So it was public speaking, communication and speech. And first class, Monday morning, freshman year, 10 a.m. was this class. And I remember, I want to say it was me and one other freshman that was in the class. Everyone else was, you know, upperclassmen or a sophomore. And looking at the syllabus and seeing that we had to do 6 speeches in the course of 15-week semester. And my stomach drops. And I just remember this overwhelming nervous feeling. And I remember every single speech that I had to do, I was like throwing up in the morning because I was so nervous to give this speech and like so nauseous during the class, like being able to give this speech. But I remember just getting involved in college. Shep mentioned earlier, one of the organizations we were part of was the Lion Ambassadors, where we were able to give campus tours. And I remember that kind of boosting my confidence. But I remember one day talking in front of an audience of over 250 people in an auditorium. We've got people standing up and it's me on this panel. And I'm like, how did I get here? But so much of that, you know, just trial and error of doing things, but also trial and error of trying new things when you're talking with people. But so much of what I do all day, whether it be on the phone, whether it be on, you know, Zoom, whether it be in front of an audience, I'm on stage and I'm talking with people about my experience. Usually I've got some type of microphone in front of me, but like, I feel like, you know, looking at how you can grow over time, just kind of getting a little bit outside of your comfort zone is one of the best things that you can do in life, is really try to try to embrace in feeling uncomfortable. Like if you can feel comfortable with being uncomfortable, the growth that you're going to have long term is like, I feel like it's out of this world.
I've said that before. Yeah. I've said the exact same thing. 100%. Shep, you got your hat here.
Yeah. So I brought the Penn State surveying hat just to, you know, it's a good representation of where it all started and how things could be much different than what they are. You know, if I wouldn't have gone to Penn State, wouldn't have had Don as a tour guide, wouldn't have had Don as a SSS mentor, orientation leader. you know, my whole life wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for that hat.
Yeah. Who knows if we'd even be sitting here right now doing this. Never know.
True. Yeah. And I think, too, like all the people that I've been fortunate enough to meet at Penn State, like, what if I didn't go? Like, I think about how drastic my life has changed because of that 4-year experience, which has turned it now into a 14-year experience, having been, you know, an alum of the university, working for the university, still being asked to come back and do things like, you know, looking at something like that where it all started. Like, it's just crazy to think about if you went in a different direction at any point in time, you know, we wouldn't be here doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on your journey?
If you go to our website, collegeknowledgefoundation.org, right at the bottom of the website, all of our different social media handles, there's a contact us button. I mean, if anyone's listening, want to connect with me on like LinkedIn or something, just Google Donovan Lindsay and I'll come up a nice smiling face. And
there you go.
Get to meet Don the Knowledge Guy.
Yeah, get to meet Don the Knowledge Guy.
All right. Yeah.
Definitely always looking to connect with people and, again, try to help anyone that I can kind of overcome any obstacles they're facing to get to that next journey.
Shep, you want to plug anything personal, LinkedIn or anything?
Yeah, I mean, everything that Donovan said as far as College Knowledge Foundation, and if you want to connect with me personally, LinkedIn's probably the best way, just Taylor Shepley, PLS.
Yeah, perfect, because at the end of the day, you know, it's all about, we said networking, right? So if you can network in any way and always learning. So before we close out, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
I want them to know you're a great interviewer.
Really? Yeah? You think I do all right? Sometimes I doubt myself. No, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, my job doing, as a full-time recruiter, doing, I can't even tell you, I mean, interviews in a day and doing podcasts myself. Like, you know, I've been on podcasts before, but like this has been a treat. I've enjoyed myself.
Good.
This has been good.
Awesome.
Like it.
Yeah. Sweet. Cool. Shep, any last words?
No, I'm good.
All right, gentlemen. Donovan Lindsay and Taylor Shepley from College Knowledge Foundation on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you both for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.